You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is our final, almost definitely our final preview podcast of the season.
Let's not be like the Notre Dame team and give you that glimmer of hope. This is the final preview for a game this season.
Notre Dame travels out to the West Coast to face number 12 USC. USC has been extremely hot the last three quarters of the season. We're going to look at a few numbers there. Obviously, Notre Dame, there was some news about Notre Dame sanctions and disciplinary actions, wins being taken away. Some of that, we'll get into that as well. And then we won't have our score prediction podcast this week. We'll just include that at the end of this episode. So before we dive into that, Randall, what are your plans for this Thanksgiving weekend?
Well, I'm actually planning to go out to Pennsylvania to visit some friends out there. So I actually won't be with either side of the family, of our family. We decided to go visit some friends we haven't seen in a while. And so I still have a lot of driving ahead of me tonight.
So you're leaving. We're recording this Wednesday afternoon. You're going to be out there tonight?
Yeah, planning to.
And I've got a lot of family coming around on my dad's side. There's always a big shindig where lots of cousins come around and spend pretty much Wednesday evening through Sunday evening packed in at one location. So it's always a lot of fun. And I can always get away to watch the Notre Dame game.
We had actually debated having a very football-filled weekend. Thursday night or Thanksgiving evening, the Colts are playing the Steelers, and my brother-in-law is a huge Steelers fan. I don't know what's wrong with him, but that is one of his flaws, is being a Steelers fan. But they're playing the Colts in Indianapolis. So we had talked about going down there because then on Friday, the local high school here, which you might have heard of it, Northwood High School, one of Notre Dame's kicker a couple years ago.
What was his name? Not Tannehill, not Fitzpatrick. I forget what his name was.
Don't know, we were actually asked to build a house, or he had talked to us about building the house for him.
He
got a scholarship at Notre Dame. He did kick some,
mostly on kickoffs. It was a 2007 season is when he did do some kicking. I do forget his name, though.
They're going to the state championship. This is their first. They're 14-0 right now. And so they haven't lost a game this year, and so they're playing the state championship down at the Colts Stadium. And that's on Friday. But we decided we would spend a Thanksgiving with our families and maybe watch from at home.
Sounds good.
Ryan Burkhardt.
Burkhardt, yeah.
Okay. Which, by the way, just talking about Ryan Burkhardt, he is a good example of what you can get, you know, as far as players getting paid at Notre Dame. He got a scholarship to Notre Dame, went there, saw some game time, very, very little game time, but he had a scholarship. He got a good job with his degree, and he's making plenty of money, and he has no college debts.
So he's not your typical college graduate who's working at Starbucks?
Exactly. So he's a salesman for a big RV company, and for Thor RV, and makes plenty of money. So,
all right. Well, let's talk some Notre Dame-USC football. The spread in this game is 17 points, and I was thinking to myself, there's no way that it can be less than 14 points. But that being said, I do think Notre Dame, they could cover. They could keep it closer than 17 points. I mean, I'm not saying they will, but I think there's a chance that they could. It's unrealistic to think they could win this game. It's not unrealistic that they could be closer than 17 points. So, USC, let's just talk a little bit about how hot they have been the last three quarters of the season. They started off 1-4 with losses to Alabama, got destroyed. A win over USU And then a loss to Stanford, 27-10. And then a loss to Utah, 31-27. Since then, they have pretty much destroyed the teams they have played with major margins of victory. They beat ASU by 21 points. The closest game they've had so far since their losses was a win over Colorado, 21-17. So a four-point win there. And then a win over Arizona. I don't even know if I knew the math here. 34 points over Arizona. 21 points over Cal. 25 points over Oregon. 13 points over Washington. And then last week, 22 points over UCLA. So they have been destroying the teams they're playing. And now here comes Notre Dame. Coming off a loss in a game where they played a very good half and then a very bad half. And I expect more of the same. I do expect Notre Dame to put a good quarter and a half, maybe even a good solid two quarters in this game. But when they put a solid half together, it's not going to be like it was against Virginia Tech where they're leading, 24-7 or 21-7, whatever it was.
24-7.
If they have a really solid half, it's going to probably be 21-18. Like, that would be an excellent half against this USC team.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say, instead of just scripting the first 20 plays or whatever, they should just script all 60 plays of this game. Maybe 70 plays. Just script the whole game. And then maybe they would go with something that's actually working. Play their kind of game instead of getting baited into playing what the defense gives you and getting outcoached by the other team. But who knows? Maybe they decided to try that this week.
Let's just do some comparison from season leaders. DeShone Kizer from Notre Dame has passed for 2,700 yards, 24 touchdowns, 8 picks. USC's starting quarterback, Darnold, has 2,400 yards, so 300 fewer passing yards, same amount of touchdowns, same amount of interceptions, 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. So not quite as turnover-free maybe as quarterback was for Virginia Tech. I'm spacing on his name right now. But still a decent 3-to-1 touchdown-to-pass ratio, right in line with where DeShone Kizer's at. So it's going to be tough to force a turnover with him. This is a solid team offensively and defensively. And I do think, even though they're number 12 in the country right now, they are one of the four best teams in the country right now. Now, I don't think they should be included in the college playoff because they have three losses.
It's all about how you're playing right now, according to the
playoff. No. It's,
yeah.
It is. I think they say the four best teams, but it is the four most deserving. And while they're one of the four best teams, in my opinion, right now, they're not one of the four most deserving.
Well, isn't Notre Dame one of the most deserving? I mean, they're still playing football after only winning four games this year. They're still playing. They're still trying. So that sounds pretty deserving.
I don't think they look at it that way.
Oh, okay.
Points per game. Actually, I guess I didn't finish going through there. Their leading rusher has almost 900 yards, 10 touchdowns, to Josh Adams, 750 yards and 5 touchdowns. And we haven't really talked a lot about this, but I am surprised not only in the amount of yards that Josh Adams has as far as disappointed, but his touchdowns too, only 5 rushing touchdowns. I definitely would have expected more from him. And then Ronald Jones, the second, is USC's leading rusher. He's a sophomore.
And Notre Dame was one of the finalists during his recruitment. So these Notre Dame coaches know quite a bit about Ronald Jones. Which there's other players on this team that Notre Dame knows about quite well as well.
Juju Smith-Schuster, their leading receiver, is probably their most exciting offensive player to me anyway. And he is their leading receiver. He has 750 yards. EQ has 850. Both of them have 8 touchdowns. And Notre Dame was also in the running for Juju Smith-Schuster, right, in that recruitment?
Yeah, he was one of the finalists, which I'm checking right now. It's questionable on whether he's going to play on Saturday. He was kind of beat up, and honestly, since they're only playing Notre Dame, why... Sorry, I'm very down.
They definitely don't need
him. If you haven't noticed, I'm very down on Notre Dame right now.
It's like, yeah.
So, I'm guessing he did play. He was taken out of the game against UCLA, and then did return. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard the latest on his injury. It is a question on whether he'll play or not.
I'm assuming that he's going to play is the way I look at it. All right. Players that you're going to be watching for on Notre Dame's team. Let's start with the defense. Defensive line, Jerron Jones, final game, final chance to impress before the combine. Definitely, I think, obviously, the guys that are playing their last game have the most to prove, I think. So on the defensive line, you'd have Isaac Rochelle and Jerron Jones, and who knows? If Jerron Jones would have a big game, it definitely would be really impressive to NFL scouts if he'd have another game close to as dominating as he was against Miami. So it'd be interesting to keep an eye on him. Randall, thoughts from you on the defensive line?
Well, we need another big game from Jerron Jones. It's his final chance to impress the NFL scouts, and I think he knows that. And even for Rochelle, I think these seniors are going to be playing very hard. I mean, not that they haven't, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Rochelle. I mean, he's done everything he can. But I think they're going to give it their all. This is a huge rivalry, and it's their final game. So I'll definitely be watching Rochelle and Jones, the two of them.
And even though we don't really care at this point, I mean, I do care in the sense that it is USC, but these guys care a lot more. I mean, it would mean a lot. It means a lot more to them to beat USC, to beat their final game as Notre Dame football player. This means a lot to them. So I definitely think they're going to be charged up and ready to go. I don't think we'll see the kind of performance we did in 2014, where Golson was taken out, Zaire came in, and oh man, was it 52-14 the final score? It was something outrageous.
Yeah, it could get ugly. Well,
I mean,
I'll wait to give you my score.
Hold on, it could get that ugly, but I think the Notre Dame players are going to be playing very hard.
Yeah,
and I don't think it will get that ugly.
Yeah, it seemed like they were out of it in that game. But then last year was kind of the opposite. It was the score, I think, was closer than what it actually showed. I mean, Notre Dame had a chance to put USC away, and they kind of let them back into the game. But the last couple years, it hasn't been as evenly matched as it has been before.
All right, and then from the linebackers, we don't have any seniors, at least not in the two deep.
You have Anuwalu.
Oh, duh. Sorry, James.
Yes, Anuwalu is in his final game.
That is true. Yeah, I totally spaced. That's another guy that has been playing really hard this whole season, and he has had some nice production, definitely. Do you think he'll get a sack in this game?
Yeah, I say he gets one. They've been doing pretty good using him, and I think he gets one sack in this game.
Aside from him, I am kind of curious to see kind of how it gets ironed out as far as... So next year, the other three guys that are playing the other two positions are going to be back with Greer, with Niles, Coney, and Bilal. Those four guys are going to be back on those somewhere on the three positions. And I don't think it's necessarily going to be telling as far as how much Greer Martini plays, how much Bilal plays. I don't think it really matters that much. But just it'll be, hopefully we'll see a continued just improvement in tackling and overall from the defense too. It seemed like last week, well, it definitely didn't hold Virginia Tech to as few points as I would have hoped. But maybe they can just slow down this USC offense a little bit.
Yeah, I do want to see who will get more of the playing time between, like, Martini, Coney, and I doubt we'll see much of Bilal. But between those two, because we saw what happened last game, Martini kind of started out, and then Coney came in and took over for him. So that's, I would definitely be watching those two, see which one of those guys gets more playing time.
All right, and then from our cornerbacks, have another senior there in Cole Luke. And I think that, I mean, pretty much the same thing I've been saying of the other seniors. I think we'll see a lot of effort from him, a lot of motivation. And other than that, so I guess
I want to see how Julian Love does in this game going against these big time receivers. First time playing USC. I just want to see if he can continue to improve. There's a tough matchup for him, so.
True. And then safeties, we got Drew Tranquil. Avery Sebastian would be a senior. Don't really expect to see him a whole lot. And then Devin Studd is still the other starter.
Drew, this is a scary game for these safeties. Well, let's just put it that way.
I mean, yeah.
USC is good at throwing the ball, and
they've got fast athletes.
Yeah. So, you know, some people think they might actually see Adoree Jackson, the cornerback, on offense, which I think he did last year. They always talk about his speed, and then Will Fuller outran him last year, so that kind of shut that down. But, you know, he's mainly played defense this year, but this would be the game that they give him a chance, maybe give him some reps on offense, because it's likely his last game at USC. Well, they obviously have another bowl game and possibly might have a championship game, but why not try it against Notre Dame? But what I'm getting to is these safeties are going to
get tested. They're going to get burned.
Yes, and we'll probably see another one of those plays like we did last week, where Tranquil just couldn't get turned around and keep up with the offensive player. But hopefully they'll keep him out of those one-on-one situations, get him some help, which I think Studs should have been helping.
I mean, but usually he's the help.
I know.
Unless he's in one-on-one.
Yeah.
Okay, offensive line, said it the last few weeks again, can we just get a mistake-free, a false start-free game, please? And I know this is actually where it's going to be difficult, because it's going to be against USC, at USC. It's going to be a noon game out there, so maybe not quite as amped as a night game.
Pick one player that will not get a false start.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say, I was going to say one of the freshmen is not going to play, but I'll play this fair. One of the starters, Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, that's the obvious answer for me. Yeah. I thought you were going to pick somebody like McGlinchey. You know? Well,
I wasn't going to. No, that would be a suicide. I was thinking about picking the right tackle.
Harrell? Oh, no, tackle. Barge.
Barge. I was going to go Barge, and I thought, well,
he could. Yeah, he could.
But, definitely the safer one is Nelson.
Yeah, he seems to be doing the best. We hear the least from him. I was going to say, if you pick McGlinchey, that limb basically snaps as soon as you say that. I feel bad for him. I mean, there is talk out there that at some point, you know, once you've been playing this many games, that it does come down to coaching.
Yeah.
Like,
and I don't buy it.
You're gonna make some mistakes, but just over and over and over. And
I also don't buy it that, oh, it's because he moved from right to the left tackle. No. I know it's different, and he needs to adjust, but that's no excuse for having this problem 12 or 11 games into the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, tight ends didn't record a catch last week after recording several and in consecutive weeks. I do think that we do get a catch for one of our tight ends.
I will agree with you, because I think the receivers are going to have a hard time getting open. And so for Notre Dame to do anything, the tight ends are going to have to be involved in this game plan. Or in the game, not necessarily the game plan, but they're going to be involved in the passing game.
And next, let's go with the running backs. Folston, possibly his final, I mean, he's a senior. I mean, he could come back.
He could come back for one more year.
But possibly his final game. And I guess because we haven't seen a whole lot of Dexter Williams the last few weeks, I'm going to expect that it's going to be Josh Adams, a majority of the carries, and then Folston with a handful. And again, nothing from Dexter Williams. It's just because that's what's happened the last few weeks.
I would agree with you. Yeah. It's going to be those two running backs. We'll just see how much they run the ball.
And then wide receivers. Is Torrey Hunter back and healthy?
Suppose Brian Kelly mentioned that he is going to practice this week, but I'm going to say he's not going to play.
That's kind of what my gut's telling me too.
The more I think about this, and it just seems like the only reason I could see him playing, getting in there, is because it's possibly his last game at Notre Dame.
Yeah,
and that he would try to. You know, try to make an effort to get out there, hobble out in the field. Well, yeah, I just don't really see. If he is that, we won't see much from him at all.
Yeah.
The other injury, Daniel Cage, is kind of the same way. I mean, I think Brian Kelly mentioned that it's basically up to him, you know, how he feels now. And, I don't know.
If he's not practicing, there's no way he's going to play.
I think he was getting back into the practice
this
week. But he's been out for a couple weeks. I just have a hard time seeing him play.
Other wide receivers. So last week we saw some new guys get some action. Miles Boykin, Fink. And not that these guys haven't caught balls, but they haven't caught a lot of them, and they did catch some more on Saturday, and also Claypool. So with Torrey Hunter kind of in question, maybe we'll see some more sprinkling in of that. And also, I mean, in the bowl game, you always see some new guys get some action, and probably because there's a lot of time of practice, maybe the coaches get some different ideas and new looks at guys. But I kind of expect to kind of have that same feel. I mean, this is going to be the final game, so I do expect some action for Claypool, for Boykin, and for maybe some of these guys that we haven't. Some guys besides EQ and Stepherson.
Well,
I mean, I still expect them to get the
Stepherson
the majority.
And EQ are going to be covered by some very good cornerbacks, so somebody's going to have to step up and help make some plays.
And I still think they'll be targeted the most, but I just think that these other guys who haven't been targeted as often will get some looks. Okay, quarterbacks, DeShone Kizer. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I've got what my gut tells me, and my gut's been kind of honestly going back and forth about if he stays, if he leaves. I
don't
know.
This is his last game.
It probably is. Do you expect him to have? I mean, last week was not what you would have wanted. I mean, for some, aside from losing, which was the worst thing that could have happened. The second worst thing is probably that you're not even in there the final play for a chance to win. So yeah. There's got to be a lot of bitter thoughts and feelings and emotions going through Kaiser's head.
That might have been for quite a while already. Just
probably.
Well.
Yeah, probably ever since the fall camp when he wasn't named the starter. I'm guessing probably some of those bitter emotions.
I think he's going to play his hardest. More of what we saw last week, you know, putting his shoulder down, running into guys.
And we've seen it against Army and against Virginia Tech.
There's a good chance there might be another targeting call in this game. I mean, I think he's just playing that physical type of football, and I think he's going to do it again. Because This is his last game at Notre Dame, in my opinion, and he wants to go out on a good note.
All right. I want to play a little game.
And what I was going to say, and this, if they could somehow possibly pull out a win against USC, it would kind of give a different feel. I mean, it would change some things at Notre Dame, just ending the season like that on more of a high note. And, you know, there wouldn't be as much negativity when people talk about this season.
Okay, we're going to get to our score predictions, but before we do that, I want to do a little game play a little game of what if. So, what if DeShone Kizer throws for 3 touchdowns and rushes for another touchdown? Does Notre Dame win that game?
No. If he passed for 3, that'd be 4.
That'd be 28 points. Which you have to expect, we'll get one more rushing touchdown or two.
Okay, if he does that, then yes, it would be a win.
Okay.
It would be in a winning game.
And I agree with you. If he would pass for 3 and rush for another one, I think Notre Dame would win that game. What if our defense scores a touchdown? Do you think Notre Dame would, like, that would be a big enough swing that Notre Dame would win the game?
No.
I would love to say yes, and I would have said yes at any other point this season, but I do agree with you, no. What if our tight ends account for 2 touchdowns?
I'm going to go with no, because I think they do need to be more involved in this game.
I'm going to go with yes on this one, because that's almost unheard of.
I agree, but... they did that against, I guess it was a win. They did it against Army, and they won. But I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
It's going to be a little hard to find getting yes out of here with these answers. So.
What if USC throws for the same amount of interceptions as they do touchdowns?
Oh, then, then Notre Dame would win. I'll say that.
Well, but they could still rush. I mean, USC could still rush a lot.
Oh,
Notre
you
Dame.
Mean like that?
Yeah. Like, if he passes for 2 touchdowns and throws for 2 or 1 for 1.
That would be a tough one. I'll go with yes for Notre Dame.
Okay. I'm actually going to go with no on this one. Okay. That's all that I've got. Do you have any other scenarios? We could go with a rushing one if Notre Dame would rush for...
They'd have to rush for probably 3 touchdowns.
Well, yeah, I was going to go yards.
If they'd have 3 rushing touchdowns, I will say yes, they win. First of all, because they don't run the ball. So that means they would be running the ball, which means they would be having a lot of success running the ball. So yes, if they have 3 rushing touchdowns, then yes, they would win the game.
I agree with you on that one.
Because the only way that happens is if they're having a ton of success and have a lead.
Actually, here's one other one. What if Notre Dame rushes more times than they pass?
Oh, then yes, it's a win.
I think, too, it would be, because the only way that would happen is if Notre Dame is ahead.
Yeah.
So I would find it impossible to be in a situation where that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go through our how we think the game's going to go and... score predictions. You can start.
Well, I do think Notre Dame will come out and score early. Like they have in the past. They've been starting strong. The first quarter is usually in their favor. But USC has a very good defense and adjusts pretty quickly. And it'll just be another one that just be more of what we've gotten used to this year. You know, the first 20 plays that they've scripted out will look good. And I just think they'll go back to trying to pass the ball. Just pass. And it's not going to work because of this USC secondary. And yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty lopsided game. USC on offense is basically going to do what they want to do. They're going to be able to run and pass. And I think they're out to prove that they should be one of the top teams. I mean, they could still go to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Notre Dame isn't good this year, a huge win over Notre Dame is still looks good on your resume. And so I don't think they're gonna be playing their best, and it's at USC. My final score prediction is going to be USC 45 and Notre Dame 20.
Whoa! That is major. So you don't even think Notre Dame covers the spread?
No.
Okay. I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that, and I agree that Notre Dame is probably going to look good for a time, and in fact, I'll go so far as to say they're going to be leading at some point in the game. Now,
beyond the first
score? It might just be the first series, okay. But at some point, Notre Dame will be leading in this game. I don't think it'll be in the second half. I don't think it'll be to end the first half, but I do think at some point Notre Dame's going to lead the game because they have played very, very well in the first half of games, especially in the opening drives. I don't think that's going to be enough. USC is pretty tough on defense. I think they're going to create pressure on Kaiser, and our offensive line, you know, has put us back behind the sticks and instead of staying ahead of them. Like you mentioned, the cornerbacks and the defensive backs for USC are more than just solid. They're really good. I think USC pulls away. I don't think Notre Dame rushes more times than they pass. I think Notre Dame plays catch up for the majority of this game. And I think the final score will be closer than what you think, but not nearly close enough to say it was a close game. For the first time this season, Notre Dame will not be within one possession. USC wins it 38-24.
That's a good pick. I did give them... I thought about even going with
a more lopsided.
Yeah.
I just think... I know we're bad and we've lost every game, but they have been... Notre Dame has been competitive and at least played well enough in spurts.
Yeah, but this is the... Right now, this is the only ranked team on Notre Dame's schedule, and they're playing like it, too. Other teams have been ranked when they played Notre Dame, but they... obviously fell out of the rankings.
Did Navy fall out?
I think USC is the last ranked team, and they're actually playing...
No, I think Stanford's ranked again.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, Stanford's 24. They just
just eked in. Okay, but
I know what you're saying.
This is a true
We thought we played some good teams. We thought Michigan State was good when we played them. Obviously, they're not.
This is the best team in Notre Dame's schedule.
Yeah.
At the time they're playing them.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year, it wouldn't have been the case because of how they played, but USC did turn it around, and this could very likely help them get into the top 10. Okay. Or they'll end up there. I'll say that because they'll likely play in a championship game.
All right, guys, if you want to join conversation, football season is almost over for Notre Dame fans, but recruiting keeps on going year-round. Randall does a good job keeping up with that, and you can kind of stay in touch with that and ask questions over on our forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. Solon also has some articles over on the website that you can read every week. He comes out with a new article covering a bunch of different topics, from potential new defensive coordinator for Notre Dame that maybe fans haven't been talking or thinking about, or just talking maybe more about the lack of identity with this Notre Dame team. So check it out every week. New articles over there on the website, as well as the podcast are over there as well. So thank you guys for listening. Randall, do we have our winner from last week?
Oh, no, I didn't. I can look that up. But I did want to mention, you probably all have an opinion on this the Frozen Five thing that has come up again, and it basically dominated the press Brian Kelly's press conference about USC. I think he was disappointed that not more people had questions about USC. But my opinion on this, that this is absolutely ridiculous, that Notre Dame has to vacate these wins and is on probation, which does not mean they'll still be eligible for a bowl game. They're not losing. It's just you basically can't make any mistakes during that time. But just the fact that Notre Dame found out about this stuff, the cheating that had happened, went to the NCAA and told them, basically confessed to them what had happened, and, you know, agreed to work with them. Otherwise, they could have... Well, anyway, so that happened, and now they have to vacate these wins, and Notre Dame is going to appeal it. But basically, they've just told everybody to shut up. If you know about cheating, anything that's happening at your school, push it under the rug, because if you...
If the NCAA thinks this is the worst thing that's happened in college football, then they are completely oblivious to what... They have no touch on reality.
Well, everybody keeps referring to the North Carolina case, which is still undergoing investigation as far as the 17 years of the fake classes and stuff. If Notre Dame has to vacate the wins in the year they went to the championship game, North Carolina won championships during those 17 years. This is all their sports. They would have to give up, and even some of the basketball players that were on a championship team have admitted to being in those classes, those non-existent classes. But this is an ongoing investigation. The thing that...
I will be shocked if this appeal, if the appeal isn't granted and the punishment is lessened, because it is completely, it's overdone.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that it will get overturned because this is absolutely ridiculous. And a lot of people do think that. And I think Father Jenkins is involved with this too. And I think he has a good case, you know, against that. Because, yeah, obviously they're condoning, you know, keeping things quiet. What I was going to say is, what's ridiculous to me is that the head of this investigation is the head of the SEC. And... that is, we would probably all agree, at least as Notre Dame fans, that the SEC, there's probably the most cheating in SEC, and there's even players that have not gone to classes while at some of those schools. And it's absolutely ridiculous. You can't tell me they don't know that stuff is going, well, maybe they, it's just so frustrating. They're basically, in my opinion, they're trying to put a bad name on Notre Dame. They're trying to make Notre Dame look bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this is doing. Because even the vacating wins, you still won the game. I think that's the stupidest thing. Even I still think Reggie Bush won the Heisman. He did. Yeah. He was the best player that year. He won the Heisman. It doesn't matter if they take it away from him. He just doesn't have it in his room. And how many of us go into his house and see that trophy? It's absolutely ridiculous. And
I don't know in that case where what is a good punishment then? Taking scholarships away?
Well, here's the other thing with this is that the rules have changed since then, but they're enforcing how the rules were then, because now it's the coach. There they treated the student that helped them with the cheat was a student, even though if you know whatever her job was. You know, with the football program, she was a student. So a student to student cheating. Back then, it was all the same. Didn't matter if it was a student helping out the football team or if it was a head coach, if it was Brian Kelly. That has changed now. Like, there would be a difference now. But Brian Kelly's right on this. I mean, this happens in all colleges.
Well, I'm just curious. So what if they would have... I mean, anybody can go cheat if they want to.
Yeah,
and if the coaches aren't helping it, then it's completely ridiculous because any one player can screw up and then screw up the entire season for the entire team.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, I don't know that much about it. I've just read some things, and
it's not over because they're obviously going to appeal it. The frustrating thing is that it happened during the football season. Of all times for this to come up is during football season. Like, why did it have to be right now? Like, why wasn't this resolved last off season or this next off season? Like, wait.
Hopefully, regardless of what happens, I do hope it gets resolved quickly. or that at least Brian Kelly doesn't need to handle it, because I want him to focus on recruiting and this team moving forward, not worrying about something from the past.
Yeah. I just saw a tweet. Stuart Mandel from Fox said, if Notre Dame has to vacate 2 years' wins because a few students committed fraud, shouldn't UNC have to vacate 17 years of wins?
Yeah.
The other timing issue with this is that Notre Dame had to go to these hearings or whatever right before the Duke game.
Right before, right after?
Right before. So they were involved in this hearing thing, came back, lost to Duke, and then fired Brian Van Gorder. So that was a very busy weekend. I don't know if Brian Kelly was at that hearing. He's probably involved, had something to do with it. But all this, I mean, it probably wouldn't change anything at Duke.
But you are right. It does kind of make Notre Dame, it does hurt Notre Dame's image of being
a program
that does hold academics to a high standard. And I believe that they do.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare it to the rest of major college programs.
They admitted to doing this. They went and told the ACC this is what happened.
Yeah.
A program with high standards would not do that. But the probation thing, they have to let recruits know. And it has to be on the website. Like, they have to let people know that they're
Is it on UND.com now?
I don't know. It's just for, I think, in my opinion in this, I think the players that were involved in this, which, you know, there were five that were suspended, and there's supposedly four more that were no longer in the program that were involved with this. So there's a total of nine. Punish those guys. Punish the cheaters, the guy that did wrong. There's no point.
It's not. I don't think it's right to punish the entire team for the mistake of a couple individuals.
You're punishing the entire program.
Yeah.
Anyways, we could go on and on. There's quite a bit of discussion over on the forum about that. The winner of the score prediction last week was ND223, he predicted, he was very close, 35-31.
A loss.
Oh, you're right, I didn't factor that in this time.
Oh, someone just got their hopes.
So he had picked Notre Dame. He had picked Notre Dame. Everybody predicted a Notre Dame win.
Really? Even Musical Day?
I don't think he tweeted one in this time.
Oh, man, he missed out.
He missed out.
All right. Well, if it does change, we'll tweet out the winner, but it most likely is the one that Randall just mentioned. Tweet out before the game, before kickoff on Saturday. It is an afternoon game, 3:30 Eastern time. Tweet out your score prediction, and the winner will get a free pound of coffee from Main Street Roasters. So thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.